Orbiter X. Episode 12, Building the Space Station. At the headquarters of the Commonwealth Space Project, Woomera, Captain Bob Britton, Mac, and Hickey are asked to fly back to the components of the Orbiter X space station, where Max Kramer, the leader of Unity, believes they are still waiting for him. When he returns, they are to plant a miniature radio beacon aboard his ship so that its movements can be traced from the ground. They are also to help him with the assembly of the space station. And, on its completion, they will send a signal to Woomera and make their getaway aboard a space chariot. The station is then to be taken over by a task force directed by Colonel Kent. Bob and the team agree to undertake their mission, and they are flown out to Orbiter X in a CSP ship which is screened by experimental deflectors. Shortly after they've been put aboard the workshop rocket at an altitude of 1,000 miles, Kramer's ship ranges alongside, and they fear he may have seen them arrive. Their fears increase as, speaking over the intercom, he orders them to join him without delay.
You have had your instructions. Carry them out. I want to hear at once, because you have quite a lot of explaining to do.
Right, Mac. Right, Higgy. Well, this looks like it.
Yeah, we must have been spotted.
Yes, but we've still got a job to do. And if we cross to his ship, Unity 5, we can at least carry out the first part of it. We can plant the beacon.
Yes, and you know, I ought to be the one to do it, because you two will have to do most of the talking.
Yeah, he's got something there, Bob.
Yes.
While you're trying to explain that we really haven't been away from here at all, and Kramer must have been seeing a mirage, I'll have chance to hide the beacon.
Okay, Hickey, here it is. Slip it into your pocket.
Thanks, Bob.
And don't forget to switch it on when you plant it in Kramer's cabin. Try and hide it somewhere behind the paneling.
Okay.
Captain Britton, we are waiting for you. I ordered you to come over immediately. Why the delay?
Quiet, chaps. I'm switching on my helmet transmitter. Hello, Dr. Kramer. After leaving us in zero gravity so long, you can hardly expect us to move quickly. We've checked our pressure suits. We're preparing to enter the airlock now.
Then hurry up.
All right, fellas. I've cut the transmitter again. We can talk freely. Grab your jet pistols and we'll cross over.
Okay.
One point, Bob.
Yes?
What shall we do with the portable deflector set?
Well, it's as safe here as anywhere. It looks like a standard toolbox, and the unitists aren't likely to start taking it to pieces.
No, I suppose not.
Right. Close helmets and turn on intercom. And remember, from now on, Kramer will be able to hear us. So be careful what you say.
Okay.
All right, let's go then.
Okay, Bob.
Kramer's ship is pretty close, so we probably won't need to use our jet pistols to get across.
Hello, Captain Britton.
Yes, Kramer.
You will not require jet pistols. You will leave them behind in the airlock.
Very well, if you say so. Pressure zero, Mac.
Right.
The hatch of our airlock is open and ready for you.
So I see.
Oh, look at the earth down there. The sun's just coming up over the coast of Africa.
Never mind Africa, Hickey. Just concentrate on that open hatch. Are you ready?
Yes, ready.
Then over we go.
All aboard Unity 5.
Into the airlock. Close up.
Remember the first time we went through this routine, Bob?
Yes, I say I do. A lot's happened since then.
Yes, it has.
Pressure normal. Helmets off. Okay, Mac, open the hatch.
So, you are here at last.
Yes, Kramer. And to begin with, I think you owe us an explanation. What was the idea of leaving us stranded for a week?
There was trouble with our interference transmitter. We had to get back to Earth headquarters quickly.
Now you could have told us, couldn't you?
We didn't consider it necessary at the time, did we, Gilman?
No, we had more urgent matters to think about.
I see. Well, what sort of explanations do you expect from me?
Can't you guess?
No?
My dear Britton, you're not really stupid. You know perfectly well what we want to talk to you about.
I haven't the least idea.
Then why do you think we're here? Look at the vision screen. What do you see?
The component rockets of Orbiter X.
Well, we want a description of their contents and the method of assembly.
The assembly?
Do you find that amusing, McClelland?
No. Zero G's got me, don't worry.
You had better control yourself. Go on, Gilman.
Now then, Britton. If you look at the tracking screen, you will see we are not alone. We are, in fact, being joined by 6 more Unity ships.
Yes, I see them.
They are carrying the assembly crews who will work with you on the space station. At the moment, they are forming up alongside us. When they are in position, you will give us all a general idea of the assembly program.
Yes, all right.
Now, what we say will be broadcast on restricted transmission to our other ships. So I want you to be brief and to the point.
Okay.
How many men are there on each assembly crew?
6 or 7. And as far as possible, we shall keep them together in teams.
Yes, we can do that, all right. But with all these ships of yours so close to the Earth, surely they're bound to be seen? I know about your electronic screens, but what about visual observation, Kramer?
There is no cause for alarm, Captain Britton. You see, our deflectors serve a dual purpose. To a limited extent, they affect radar reflections, and we use them in conjunction with the interference transmissions. But they also deflect light waves.
Ah, so that's it.
Yes. The effect is not apparent at close quarters, but I assure you that our ships are quite invisible from the Earth.
Here, wait a minute. What about the Orbiter X component? When we start moving them around, won't the people down there see that something's going on?
No. The components will be fitted with deflectors, and as they are moved, their present positions will be taken by substitutes made of thin metal foil.
Ah, so even when the station's assembled, it won't be seen from the ground?
No. Your ground forces will have no idea that it has been assembled.
Hello, Unity 5. This is Escort Commander calling Unity 5. The formation is now in position.
Thank you, Escort Commander. Stand by for instructions.
Right. Captain Britton, you can start by giving us a general picture of Orbiter X as it will look when it's assembled.
That's all right. Well, it'll take the form of a wheel 200 feet across.
Yes.
The hub in the middle will be joined to the rim by 2 spokes. And the inside of the rim, which will be about 25 feet across, will contain our laboratories, workshops, living accommodation, and so on.
The main entrance will be in the hub, of course.
Yes, the crew will go in through an airlock in the hub, and lifts will then carry them along inside the spokes and through to the different departments in the rim.
I take it there's some provision for artificial gravity?
Well, the people who are actually inside the rim will have the full benefit of that, because the whole station will revolve steadily around the hub.
Yes, and while we're on the subject of movement, Britton, as the station is set in a near-polar orbit, it will continue to circle the Earth in slightly less than 2 hours, correct?
Yes, that's true.
And because the Earth itself is spinning, every part of its surface will be visible from the station every day, yes?
Yes, as a matter of fact, our main telescope will be able to pick out objects no more than a foot apart from one another.
Which shows just how important the station will be as an observation platform. Its assembly is, in fact, a vital step towards establishing our unity world government. Now, Britton, a preliminary word about the assembly.
Well, at the moment, we're more or less in the middle of the cluster of rockets which contain the station components.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to open them up, fit them together into the complete unit.
And where do we start?
Well, as you see, each rocket has a number on it. Mm. Number 1, which is alongside us, houses the central workshops.
Yeah.
We should actually start on numbers 2 and 3, because they make up the central hub of the station.
Right. Escort Commander, do you understand? Our first 2 teams will work on the hub.
We understand, sir.
At the same time, the other teams can work on the next 4 rockets which make up the spokes.
Good.
After the hub and the spokes have been assembled, our entire working force should then concentrate on the next 20 rockets.
Right.
They're carrying the plastic self-sealing material, which has to be blown up to form the rim of the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather like the inner tube of a motor car tire.
Yeah, and the tread on the tire is made from the rockets themselves. They form a bumper against meteorites.
Mm. Yes, that's right. And to complete the picture, the remaining rockets in the cluster are carrying the solar generators, scientific equipment, and most of the gear that's needed for the research center and the space terminal.
Excellent.
There's just one other point.
Yes?
The men will travel between the rockets on small transporters, which we call space chariots.
I see.
But they'll actually steer the components into position with their ordinary jet pistols. Yes, I think that's about all.
Thank you. The assembly crews will now leave their ships and report to the central workshops for more detailed instructions. Are there any questions?
No, sir. We shall report to workshops immediately.
Yes, and don't forget, bring your own oxygen.
Hello, Hickey.
You seem very pleased with yourself, Hicks.
Eh? Well, as an ex-petty officer, I'm rather looking forward to getting down to work.
You are you?
Yes, on the assembly teams. They don't know they've been born yet. They're going to work harder and faster than they've ever worked in their lives. That's if you'll give me a free hand with them.
What do you say, Dr. Kramer?
We seem to have overlooked one of our friend's outstanding qualities. Yes, Hicks. Within reason, you have a free hand. But remember, we shall be watching you.
Aye, aye. But if you float around too much, I'll have you on the job as well.
That's enough. Get into the airlock, all of you, and go back to the workshops. We shall follow.
All right, chaps. Into the lock.
Have you done the job, Hickey?
Yes, I've planted the beacon.
Oh, good man.
That was a piece of cake. I only hope they'll hear the signals at Woomera.
Report from number one landing platform, Colonel Kent.
Yes?
Captain Knight's coming straight along to the control room.
Well, was his mission successful?
Well, he told the platform officer he thinks it was.
Well, doesn't he know?
Apparently, he put Captain Britton and the others off close to Orbiter X, but he had to get away quickly.
If anything's gone wrong, Sir Charles, I won't forgive myself for sending those fellows back.
No. Perhaps we should have followed a more orthodox line of attack. But if we came out into the open, this man Kramer would certainly be driven to action.
Yes, he'd start his campaign right away.
What are the latest observatory reports on Orbiter X?
Negative, sir. There's no signs of any intruders out there.
And yet the interference transmissions are going on?
Yeah, they are.
So these Unity people are obviously screening some monkey business.
Sir Charles, if Britain has put the beacon aboard Kramer's ship, and if we're able to track the signals back to the Earth and find the location of the Unity headquarters, what then?
Well, the headquarters must be in somebody's country, so officially we should bring the matter to the attention of the United Nations.
Ah, dear. And again, Kramer would be in action. He'd be launching missiles on the world before the first debate even started.
I rather imagine he would.
Well, so what's the answer, unofficially?
We have missiles of our own, of course.
That's what I was thinking.
But a small mobile force of experienced troops could be dropped into the headquarters, and they might be more effective in destroying the Unity organization. You see, they could probably find a list of the members. Members who are working in different parts of the world, perhaps. From Russia to America and the Commonwealth itself.
That's true, yes.
Colonel Kent, the beacon signals are coming through.
What?
Yes, listen.
This is magnificent.
Yes.
Get the direction finders onto them right away.
So Captain Britton's really pulled it off.
Yes, and he hasn't wasted much time.
According to DF, Colonel, the signals are coming from Orbiter X. But there's nothing to be seen out there.
That means the Unity ships have got visual screens.
Yes, and it explains why Captain Knight had to come back fast. He could only just have got to the space station ahead of Kramer.
Well, it proves a most important point, Kent. Our deflectors really work.
Yes, they do.
If they weren't 100% effective, Kramer would have spotted Knight's ship and it wouldn't be back here now. We wouldn't be hearing these signals, either.
Right, you are.
So when our whole fleet is fitted out with them, we really shall be able to go into action. And for the first time, the element of surprise will be on our side.
Hello, Bob.
Hello.
You look worried. What's wrong?
Plenty. Is anybody else here in the workshop?
Well, just the three of us.
Good. Gelbin has just told me that Kramer and his ship are going to stay put right here until Orbiter X is complete.
Oh, no.
So the beacon will go on using up its batteries and sending out DF signals that won't get our ground boys anywhere. By the time Kramer does fly back to his headquarters, batteries will be exhausted.
Well, can't we think of some excuse for getting him to go back now?
Yeah, there must be something we can do.
Well, yes, I think there is. We've got to get the beacon out of Unity 5 and transfer it to one of the other ships.
Ah, yes.
You see, they seem to take it in turn to go back to their headquarters and collect supplies.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I'm almost certain Unity 7 is probably the next one to make the trip. And when it does, it's going to take the beacon with it.
So I've got to get aboard Kramer's ship and pick it up, right?
Yes. Now, you know where you left it?
Yeah, sure. I lodged it behind the paneling in one of the lockers.
Good. Can you get it out fairly easily?
I don't know. I'll try.
Okay, now I'll tell you what we'll do. I want to move fast because Kramer's alone on the ship at the moment. I'll come over with you, Hickey. We can make the excuse that we want to give him a progress report on Orbiter X.
Yes.
I'll give him some guff about the way the components are being moved around. Now, while I'm holding his attention, it's up to you to do your stuff.
All right. I'll have a go.
Good. But whatever you do, don't let him catch you out. If that happens, he'll cotton on to the whole plan. He might even launch an attack on Woomera. You understand?
Yes, I say I do.
Can I come with you, Bob?
No, I think two of us is enough, Mac. If we all go, Kramer might be suspicious. We don't want to strain his confidence too far. As it is, Hickey and I might just about get away with it.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, Captain Britton. But in future, you will make proper arrangements before boarding my ship.
Yes, I'm sorry, Dr. Kramer.
And come alone next time.
Yes. I only brought Hicks along because he's so much in contact with the assembly teams.
Yes, that's right. I'm afraid they're getting a bit careless.
Oh? What do you mean?
Well, the thing is, if the components are moved into position too fast, you can't always stop them at the right moment. It's the old business of inertia, you know.
Go on.
Well, the truth is, the men have been pushing the stuff around much too fast. And the central hub of the station has taken some very hefty knocks from the spokes before they were locked into position.
Was there any damage?
No, not a lot, but if this sort of thing goes on...
All right. I'll speak to the teams myself.
We would appreciate it. If you could just come over here and look at the central monitor now. You'll see two teams bringing a couple of sections of the rim together. You may see the sort of thing that happens.
Yes, quite. I understand.
Of course, it's... Well, it's pretty uncomfortable working inside pressure suits, you know. I mean, for hours on end. So I can't altogether blame the men when they do misjudge their speed and distances.
They are taking things steadily enough at the moment.
Yes. Yes, I'm glad to see they are. We'll watch them here.
What's happening?
It's all right, don't worry.
Hicks! What are you doing at that locker?
The door was open. I just brushed against it.
Come away! What have you got in your hands?
Yeah, turn it up.
Hickey, what is it? Let me see.
Britton, stand aside. Now, Hicks, show me what you've got there.
What are you getting at, Kramer? Do you think I'm a thief?
Now, take it easy, Hickey.
Get out of the way, Captain Britton. Hicks, I order you to let me see your hands.
Now, look here, I don't like being accused.
Do as I say.
All right. There you are. I've got nothing.
Huh?
I hope you're satisfied.
I shall examine the locker.
Oh, go ahead. If you think there's anything missing, you're wrong.
Very well. Everything seems to be there.
Of course it is.
Now get out.
Okay.
And you, Britton, you can come back with your report. And come back alone.
All right, I'll do that. I better get into the airlock, Hickey.
Okay, Bob.
You nearly gave me a heart failure, chum. Did you get the thing?
Yes, but the case sprang open. I had to let it go. It slipped behind the paneling. There isn't a hope of getting it now.
No.
Anyway, I'm afraid the beacon's probably busted.
Come in.
Forgive me bursting in on you like this, Sir Charles, but I got some unpleasant news for you.
Oh? Well... What is it, Kent?
Well, I'm sorry to say the beacon transmissions have finally stopped.
Oh. That's bad. I suppose the batteries have run out.
Well, they shouldn't have yet. No, I... I think the gadget must have developed a fault. It could have been knocked. Anything could have happened.
You don't think Kramer may have discovered it, do you?
No. We would almost certainly have been in serious trouble. Kramer's no fool. If he'd found the beacon, he would very quickly have put two and two together. He'd have realized that we were after him. I've no doubt at all he would have taken violent countermeasures right away.
Yes, I'm sure he would. So we can assume that Bob Britton and his chaps are still safe.
Yes, I think so.
I hope you're right. And assuming you are, all we can do now is to wait until they send the signal that the space station is complete.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. You know, things have a habit of going wrong. Mm-hmm. We hoped that the beacon would give us the location of a Unity headquarters, but Kramer has obviously stayed with Orbiter X. Now, in the same way, there might be a hold-up in the next part of our plan. We might never get the signal from Bob.
So you'd like to fly out to Orbiter X and see what's going on, is that it?
Why, yes. How did you know?
I do have ideas of my own occasionally, and this one had occurred to me.
Well, what did you say? My ship will be perfectly screened by the deflectors, and I shall be able to see exactly what's going on up there. With a bit of luck, I might even manage to shadow one of the Unity ships back to its headquarters.
It's a nice idea, Kent, but far too risky. You said yourself that things have a habit of going wrong. And if the Unity spotted you, we really would be in trouble.
But,
no, we are not sending up any ships until the whole fleet has been fitted out. Not only with deflectors, but with armaments as well. How's the work going, by the way?
Well, it should be finished within a week.
Well, there you are. After that, we can put a complete task force into space. It could go up, destroy any Unity ships in its way, and take over the station. The trouble is, of course, a plan like this might be disastrous for Bob Britton and his team.
Yes, it might well be.
But I think we shall be hearing from them fairly soon. Although we can't see anything going on out there, I'm ready to take a bet that the station's almost complete.
Well, there must be some very clever camouflage.
Yes, and behind that camouflage, Orbiter X is growing. We must give our chaps time to let us know when it's finished, and time for them to get aboard their chariot and cross to Orbiter One. Then we'll pick them up as arranged, and after that we can get busy on Mr. Kramer.
But what if we don't get the signal from Britain?
You know, there are times when you depress me, Kent. All right, we'll give him another week. If we haven't heard from him by then, I shall have to seek permission to launch the attack.
Well, chaps, what do you think of our space station now it's more or less complete?
I can't say I feel very happy about it, Bob.
Neither can I.
Gives me a funny sort of feeling standing here quietly in the control room, right inside the rim of Orbiter X. It's a bit lonely, isn't it?
Yes, I know. This is going to be quite an occasion when the job was completed.
Yes, quite a Victory Day celebration with worldwide radio and television hookups and ships coming and going with VIPs.
Yeah, those could stand the jump.
That's true enough. Think of the headlines. The completion of Orbiter X. Man's first step to the stars.
A Commonwealth space station opens its airlocks to the astronauts of the world. I don't think.
Still, I suppose we mustn't be depressed. Our boys aren't going to let the Unity people stay here. You can bet your life on that.
Sure. Tell me, Bob, when are you going to switch on that pocket transmitter of yours and let the boys at home know that the station's all ready to be taken over?
Well, all in good time, Mac. Hold on. Orbiter X Control, Britton speaking.
Hello, Britton. This is Commander Galvin.
Yes, Galvin.
You'll be pleased to know that Dr. Kramer is interested in that little matter we discussed. We shall be moving very shortly. You know what to do?
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Well, what's that all about?
Yes, what have you been talking to Galvin about, Bob?
Don't worry. It simply means that the time has come for us to get out of here. You've got a chariot standing by outside the station airlock, haven't you?
Yeah, and I've worked out the navigation. Orbiter One's course is converging with ours right now. If we can get away on the chariot quickly, the crossing shouldn't be too bad.
Oh, that's fine.
But what's this business you've got with Galvin? I don't understand it.
Ah, you will. Come on, let's step on the lift and make that daring little trip up the spoke to the central hub. Come on.
Here we go, then.
All aboard for the Tunnel of Love.
Hold on.
I must say, this would be a riot at Blackpool. You feel as if you're falling, don't you?
Yeah, that's because the artificial gravity decreases as we move further away from the rim. When we arrive at the hub, we'll be weightless again. so switch on your magnet.
Okay.
Right, chaps. Prepare to get into the airlock. Now, have you got everything you need?
No, not quite. No, I hid the deflector set away with some stores here. Now, it must be somewhere around. Let's see.
You got it?
Ah, yes.
Good. Now, you know what to do. You board the chariot and start collecting some of the debris left over from the assembly work. The unitists will think you're doing your normal job, but all the time you'll be moving further away. Then, when you think it's safe, you switch on the deflector and head out for Orbiter 1 as fast as you can.
Yeah, but what about the signal getting back to Woomera?
Don't you worry. I'll see to that, all right?
But you're talking as if you weren't coming with us.
As a matter of fact, chaps, I'm not.
What?
Are you serious, Bob?
Absolutely. You see, I've got... Listen. Kramer and Gelbin are coming up on the other lift. I've got to talk fast. I must get my transmitter onto their ship. When I do, it'll act as another beacon. And Woomera should be able to locate Unity headquarters at last.
Yeah, but how the dickens are you going to get it aboard the ship? At any moment, Kramer and Gelbin will be leaving for their headquarters.
They are. They're going right now. And believe it or not, Mac, they've agreed to take me with them.
That ends the 12th episode of Orbiter X, an adventure in the conquest of space by B.D. Chapman. It was produced for the BBC by Charles Maxwell.